He said he just lost control, that he never meant to hurt his girlfriend. She just wouldn't stop talking and he needed to be heard. It was an accident. But then why did he have duct tape in his backpack and a shovel in his car? This is the story of Zayla Bronson, the pregnant college student who ended up in her boyfriend's trunk. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here, and hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. At 11:08 a.m. on August 26th, a 911 dispatcher in North Carolina called over to a 911 operator in Kansas. A woman on the line in North Carolina was saying she was concerned about a possible homicide in Wichita. She was worried her son may have harmed his girlfriend. Wichita police went to the suspected victim's home on East 17th Street, but she was nowhere to be seen. They pinged the son's cell phone and found that he was at his home on East 21st Street. When they arrived and peeked into the window of his car, a black purse was on the front seat. There at the park at 21st and Rock apartment complex, they met with the 22-year-old boyfriend, Alexander Julian Lewis. He cooperated immediately. He answered the door and said he got scared and he didn't know what to do. He told them where to find the keys to his car. Before the clock even struck noon, they had found the body of Zayla Q. Bronson covered in a white blanket. They attempted CPR, but there was no saving her. She was deceased in the trunk of her boyfriend's 2009 Kia Rio. When the news first broke, authorities weren't releasing Zayla's name. They only said that the woman was 19 years old and that there were no obvious signs of trauma to her body. There was some notion that she might have been pregnant, but a police spokesman said that she didn't appear to be. Lewis was arrested on suspicion of murder while Zayla's body was taken in for an autopsy. The next day, the police released her name, and the following day, they said she had been strangled. When they called Zayla's family the day her body was found, her mom was out shopping with Zayla's siblings. She had to hear the news over the phone from her husband, and she said she just dropped her purse on the floor and screamed. Zayla's parents were soldiers in the U.S. Army, stationed at Fort Campbell on the Tennessee-Kentucky border when she was conceived. Zayla's mom left her post when she was 8 months pregnant, while her father remained active. After Zayla was born, the family lived in Germany and Florida before settling at Fort Leavenworth when she was in elementary school. Zayla was a talented student athlete who shone on the powerlifting and track teams at her high school. When the state track meet was held at Wichita State University 1 year, 3 hours away, Zayla knew that was where she was meant to be. She graduated early at the age of 17, and with her straight A record, she won a scholarship for full tuition, fees, and books. She wanted to become a math teacher, and she loved working with kids. Her mom says she always put other people before herself, and that the two remained close even after Zayla went off to college. A couple of months before her death, Zayla had driven the 3 hours home from Wichita to Leavenworth to surprise her mom. She wanted to tell her family in person that she was 6 weeks pregnant. Zayla handed a bag to her mom and said, "Look what the doctor gave me." Her mom thought it was just dog blankets or something until she got to the diapers. Zayla and her boyfriend had a name picked out, but they weren't telling anyone. All anyone knew was that she was having a little boy.
She had just found out that she was having a boy. And of course, we had that conversation. We even had a separate conversation on what she was naming it. And she would not tell me the baby's name. She said, "No, Mom, it's a surprise."
On the night of Zayla's death, she called her mom after 9 p.m. when she was leaving her job at a local clothing store where she had recently been promoted to manager. She was tired, but she was going to visit Alexander Lewis, her boyfriend since January, at his apartment. The facts of the case after that are a little blurry because, of course, they only come from one side. Lewis says that on August 25th, he called Zayla on her cell phone at work, and while they were talking, she got a call from another guy on the store's phone line. He could hear her side of the conversation, and he didn't like it. He said their relationship had been rough because she was always talking to other men and cheating on him. So that night, when she arrived at his apartment after work, they began to argue. She eventually broke up with him, left his home, and texted that she was going to find a man who would listen to her. He said she was saying things that were specifically meant to piss him off. But in the past, Zayla had complained about him letting her go during arguments, so he decided to pursue her, you know, show he cared. It was 10 p.m. when he got to her door, and she answered it while talking to another man on the phone. This made him, quote-unquote, very upset, and the two began a whole new round of fighting. It lasted all night. They never went to sleep. At 8:13 a.m., Kayla and Alexander Lewis took her dog outside to her courtyard, and that was the last time she was seen alive. Back inside, they continued to argue, and Lewis felt that Kayla was blaming him for everything. He said he was so done with the things she was putting on him. So as they sat next to each other on the couch, he grabbed her to shut her up. He said he didn't mean to do it, that he didn't even mean to hurt her. But he did put one arm around her neck and one hand on top of her head and then squeezed. He didn't know how long he did it. He just remembers continuing to talk as he choked her and the anger he felt. He says Zayla slapped at his arm because she couldn't speak, and then she just stopped moving. It was then that the panic kicked in, and he realized that she had no pulse. He pulled his car around, brought a black backpack inside, wrapped her in the blanket from her bed, and put her in his trunk. Security camera footage from the apartment complex shows him lugging something large wrapped in a blanket from the apartment at 10:24 a.m. Feet were dangling out of it. That's the part that really gets me, the dangling feet. At 10:27, he went back inside and emerged with the black backpack from his car and Zayla's dog. He called his mom and said he had hurt his girlfriend and wanted to come home. His mom asked for Zayla's phone number so she could find out what was going on, but when Lewis refused to provide it, she suddenly knew what she was dealing with. She told him to call the police, but he first went back into the apartment and collected his beanie. When he did call 911 at 11:14 a.m., he said he had strangled his girlfriend and she was quote-unquote now with him. On August 30th, Lewis appeared in court for the first time and was charged with capital murder for intentionally killing more than one person. The unborn baby boy was the second victim named in the complaint. Alexander Lewis maintains that he didn't mean to hurt Zayla, but here's the thing. The night that Lewis and Zayla were fighting, he made web searches for stun guns and lethal weapons. I guess that wasn't good enough because he also searched for weapons that can kill. More lethal than lethal, I guess. At 8:02 a.m. the next morning, he searched for chokehold. Then we see Zayla on surveillance footage at 8:13 a.m. for the last time. After that, Lewis searched multiple times for things about abortion. At 8:51 and 8:52 a.m., he searched for snapping necks. And then between 10:57 and 11:06 a.m., he made multiple searches about murder. Security footage shows Zayla arriving home at 10:14 p.m., and then Lewis arrived 18 minutes later. He can be seen opening the trunk of his car and moving things around back there. He walks around the courtyard and stares for a while before going to Zayla's apartment. An axe and shovel were later found in his car next to her body, but he says he bought those months before and was just storing them back there. That black backpack he brought to and from Zayla's apartment contained duct tape, flashlights, towels, and trash bags. Don't those sound to you like things a person would have if they were planning to bury a body? The week after the murder, Zayla's mom called her daughter's apartment complex to get permission to visit the unit her eldest had called home. When she arrived after the three-hour drive, a maintenance man had been told to keep her out. All she wanted was to see the place, how it had been left, how her daughter had been living, but she wasn't allowed.
How do you deny a person, a mother, who has just lost her child, the right to go in, just sit, to smell, just see the apartment as it was, cuddling on the couch, watching movies. Just the time is just, she didn't want to do much. She would always say, Mom, it doesn't matter whatever you want to do. I just want to spend time with you.
Luckily, she was at least able to find Zayla's mini poodle, Oliver, at a local shelter. Since Lewis was seen on the security footage taking Oliver from Zayla's apartment after killing her, I'm assuming that means he left the dog at the shelter, or worse, left him somewhere else for someone else to find. Zayla's godmother started a GoFundMe to help with funeral expenses, and she knows a little something about the kind of relationship Zayla was in. This woman had been 6 months pregnant when she found herself being dragged down a hallway by her husband on a military base in Germany. She felt that he ultimately loved her, though, and she was having his child. So she kept his abuse hidden out of embarrassment. But her old trauma felt fresh when she found out that her goddaughter had experienced the same thing with her boyfriend. Studies show that pregnant women or women who have recently given birth are more likely to die by homicide than from any sort of medical condition. And Black moms are even more likely than others to fall victim to intimate partner violence. They say a partner who was abusive before pregnancy can feel even more out of control or strained by the idea of introducing a child into the relationship. Sometimes that strain leads to deadly consequences. Zayla's mom said that she never suspected anything was wrong. Zayla had recently gotten her new managerial position and a new car. But the thing about Zayla is that she'd apparently smile through anything, so it might have been hard to see the signs. Her mom said that she felt like they were close, but she worries that they must not have been close enough if she failed Zayla in this way. And I hate to hear her say that because it's really not her fault. The executive director of the Wichita Family Crisis Center says that the red flags can be small and that when a relationship gets bad, it gets bad quickly. It's a community-wide public health issue that needs social and economic policies that address the root causes, like mental health and income inequality. I'm sad for Zayla's family that they'll probably never know what she was going to name the baby, and I'm sad for Alexander Lewis's mom that she felt that she had to be the one to report her son. But I want to say that I'm so impressed with this mother who called 911. So many moms protect their sons at all costs, even when the evidence should convince them otherwise. Think of the Duggars covering up their son's crimes against his own sisters, or Brian Laundrie's parents allegedly trying to help him escape the country after he killed Gabby Petito. We might not know exactly what happened in that case, but just this month, Brian's parents proposed a settlement in the suit Gabby's parents made against them. I'm not saying that means they're guilty, but I'm just saying. I understand why a mom wouldn't want to be the one to turn in her son, and yet I'm always surprised how many stand by these sons who have done unspeakable things. I always wonder, is it just too hard to think that you might have had a hand in raising someone who became a monster? The historian and journalist Peter Vronsky says in his book Sons of Cain, many serial killers are survivors of early childhood trauma of some kind, physical or sexual abuse, family dysfunction, emotionally distant or absent parents. Trauma is the single recurring theme in the biographies of most killers. I'm not blaming Alexander Lewis's mom here, of course. Just wondering, as always, what makes someone like a 22-year-old in Kansas kill his pregnant girlfriend? Alexander Lewis is being held on $500,000 bond at the Sedgwick County Jail. He's not entered a plea as of yet. I'm so curious if you think there's any way this wasn't premeditated and what that axe was doing in his trunk. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.